Good morning, church. It's my pleasure to bring the Word of God this morning. We believe here at Oxygen Life Church that the Word of God is infallible and inerrant. There is no mistakes in the Word of God. It is the authority that we stand on. You know, I've often heard people say things before like, I wish I could hear the voice of God. And, well, my response to that is, if you want to hear the voice of God, just open up your Bibles. And he will speak to you. He will speak to you. And this morning, as we open up the Word of God, he is going to speak to us. How many of you guys would want to hear the voice of God? Well, we're going to hear it this morning. The Word of God is life-giving. It can bring hope to the downtrodden. It can rejuvenate our souls. I'm very excited for this morning. Our chief captain, Vince, has been entitled this series, The Pattern, and we've been exploring the values or the fundamentals of the church, the essentials that are in the church. These are like the non-negotiables. It doesn't matter, hey, is that Lunga? Hey, Lena Power, baby. Good to see you here. we've been going through the values of the fundamentals of the Christian faith. What exactly needs to be present in a church? This is the blueprint that we cannot deviate from. You know, these are the meat and potatoes, the essentials that we have to have in a church. It doesn't matter if you're in the Baptist church, the Pentecostal church, Harvest down the road. It doesn't matter. If you're in a church, these things must be present. Amen. These things must be present. And I guess I just want to make one thing clear before I get going, is that here at Oxygen Life Church, we are not here to play church. We are not here just to go through the motions. We're not here, you know, what we're doing here is not a hobby. This is not just something that we decided, we woke up one day and this is just lacquer to do. We're not building a church to cater to the crowds. We're not building to pander to what is politically correct. Or even, you know, to try and do things to sound nice, even if that means sometimes we're offending people. But what we are here to do is build the church of Jesus Christ. Amen. That is what we are here to do. We are here to build the church of Jesus Christ. And what we are asking of you is nothing different from what Jesus Christ asked of his disciples 2,000 years ago. If you want to be a part of the church of Jesus Christ, of Oxygen Life Church, then you must deny yourself. You must lose your life for his sake. You must put your shoulder to the plow. You must give up your life for his sake. Lose your life for the sake of others. Pour your life out for the sake of the church of Jesus Christ. We're not here with cap in hand asking you guys, you know, please come to Common on Wednesday. Or please come to church on a Sunday. That's the least that we can ask you. We're echoing the words of Jesus Christ and we're saying, give up your life. Give up your life for the sake of Christ. Lay it all down. Pour it out as a drink offering. That is what we are called to. We are called to be a devoted people. A devoted people. These are what we're going through in Acts 2:42, is that they devoted themselves. And we are called to be a devoted people. And this is the call that Jesus Christ is making. Are you a devoted people? And I just want to frame for us, there is this excerpt that is taken from this Athenian philosopher. His name is Aristides. And in the early church, what happened was Christianity obviously wasn't what it was like today, and so this guy Aristides went and like observed what the church was like, and then he wrote back to this emperor to say, "Hey, I've observed these people, and this is what they were like. This is not just like a made up story or fiction. This is real life, and this is what he said the church was like. Isn't this wonderful? I just want to read it to you just before we get going." This is his response in his letter to the emperor. "But the Christians, O king, while they went about and made search, have found the truth. They know and trust in God, the creator of heaven and earth. Wherefore they do not commit adultery, nor fornication, nor bear false witness, nor embezzle what is held in a pledge, nor covet what is not theirs. They honor father and mother and show kindness to those near to them. And in ever they are They are judges. They judge uprightly. And whatsoever they would not, that others should do unto them, they do unto others. And their oppressors they appease and make them their friends. They do good to their enemies. Falsehood is not found among them, and they love one another. And from the widows they do not turn away their esteem, and they deliver the orphan from him who treats him harshly. And he who has gives to him who has not, without boasting. And when they see a stranger, they take him into their homes and rejoice over him as their brother. For they do not call them brethren after their flesh, but brethren after the Spirit and in God. And whenever one of their poor passes from this world, each one of them accordingly gives to his ability. And if they hear that one of them in number is imprisoned or afflicted on account of their name of their Messiah, all of them anxiously minister to his necessities. And if it is possible to redeem him, they set him free. And there is among them any that is poor and needy, and if they have no spare food, they fast 2 or 3 days in. Isn't this wonderful that, so this is an actual excerpt of what he reported, this Athenian, Aristides. It sounds as exactly what Luke in Acts 2:42 describes of this early church. And this is what we're called to do. And this morning as we are in Acts 2:42, this is my prayer that the Lord would shape us and that he would mold us. Amen. Let's quickly pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you, Jesus, that you want to speak to us, that you care too much about us to leave us where we are. Won't you stir us up and encourage us, we pray. Amen. Okay, Acts 2:42. This is our anchor text for this morning. We all know it, and it says, Acts 2:42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. I'll read it one more time, Acts 2:42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. So just to go over just quickly the context of Acts 2:42, we know what that is. So Jesus Christ, he has died and he was resurrected. And then he said to his disciples, I need to go away. I need to ascend into heaven. And I'm going to send another. I'm going to send another, the Parakletos, he actually says. That's a translation. I'm going to send another. It's quite interesting. He actually says, it is better that I go. Isn't that quite interesting? Jesus Christ, imagine if Jesus Christ is among us and he's saying, I actually need to leave and it's going to be better that I go and send this other person. That just should highlight to us the importance of this other person. So he says, I'm going to go. I'm going to prepare a place for you guys. And you need to wait for this other person. Because this other person's going to empower you. This other person's going to give you the ability to carry out what you need to do. And so wait for this other person. And so the disciples then wait in the upper room. They wait. And eventually this other person, the Holy Spirit, comes into the room, fills him up. Peter, in boldness, preaches. 3,000 people get saved. The church is instantly birthed. Okay? And as the church is instantly birthed, this is what plays out in Acts 2:42. And this church is what they devoted themselves to. So the church is a supernatural entity that is created by God. It's also sustained by God. And what's interesting about the church is that the Bible describes it as the body of Christ. Have you all heard that before? The body of Christ. But even though it's so simple, it's so complex at the same time. Like this body of Christ. It's so unique. It's a real mystery. It's a real mystery. Paul describes it as a mystery. Because even though individually we have responsibility for our own faith and we're going to be judged according to our own works, at the same time, somehow in Christ, we are one and I can't do what I'm called to do unless you do what you need to be called to do. It's such a mystery. Somehow in one, I'm not just an individual. Somehow, Tom and I are somehow, we are not just brothers in Christ or just friends, we are literally one. Isn't that quite strange, quite unique? That's why it's a mystery that somehow in Christ, Lubabalo and myself, we are one. That's just fascinating. I am one with the believers in Christ. And so that's why It's just this in such a unique bond. That's why the Bible describes it as koinonia, this fellowship amongst us. It's this unique bond between believers. And so this bond that's between us is so unique that I am so reliant on Untel because he is part of the body of Christ. I cannot do what I'm fulfilled to do unless Untel does what he needs to do. And so just like a hand needs to do his part for the whole body to function, so Tom needs to do his part for me to function. And so in order for me to be all I am in Christ, I am solely reliant on the Kasodises, for example. That just blows my mind. That I will not be able to be the person God has called me to be unless Charida steps up and be the person God has called her to be. That's why we are the body of Christ, and we are so reliant on other people. And that's why in this Luke passage, Luke had to say in Acts 2:42, he had to say, they devoted themselves. They devoted themselves. It couldn't just be individuals. It had to be collectively as a church. And so us as Oxygen Life Church, we will not be a devoted people unless tied and everybody else is devoted. Then we will only be a devoted people. I'm so reliant on you. It is so fascinating. 1 Corinthians 12:12-27, I'm sure we know what it says. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts from one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we are all given to one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I do not need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that are lacked, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. And so as even Robbie and Kerry now start the 11 a.m., that's a victory for us. And if they succeed, we all succeed. If a person gets released as a deacon or an elder or a community leader, that's a success for all of us. Isn't that wonderful? So when someone gets released, you can then go, oh my word, if that person's going forward, that means I'm going forward. And that's why we are so dependent on other people in the body of Christ. So Luke beautifully uses the word devoted to paint this picture of the signs of the Holy Spirit. If you are in a church and there is devotion, know that the Holy Spirit is nearby. You cannot have devotion and the Holy Spirit apart from each other. Where there is the Holy Spirit, there will be devotion amongst the people. You know, he's not describing programs, you know, that they did this and they had this thing and they went to this. These are the things that naturally flowed from them. So even when you guys are picking churches and you're going and visiting churches, he didn't say, pick a church, for example, that ends on time, that finishes at 11 a.m. He didn't say, go to the church that, you know, has your type of vibe or the people that you like or successful people so that you can network. He says, join a church that is devoted to particular things. We need to pick churches that are devoted to the apostles' teaching. As Robbie mentioned, the Word of God. We need to stand on the Word of God. And here in Oxygen Life Church, we want to stand on the Word of God. Amen. Even when the world says, for example, abortion is okay. Abortion is okay. Women have their rights over their bodies. We are called to be, as Oxygen Life Church, a church that says we are standing on the Word of God. It doesn't matter what it is that the world says. Every life is created in the image of God. And we need to stand on it. Or maybe we need to, like what Tebby was saying this morning about the different cultures. Wasn't that wonderful? We are devoted to be a people according to the fellowship. Just recently, there's been economic unrest. You know, the foreigners. I'm a foreigner, born in Uganda. You know, people have been threatened, you know, with violence, etc. We as Auction Life Church must be devoted to the fellowship so that we can care for those who have been mistreated. That we should be those who come alongside those people, that come alongside those who have been threatened with violence. Amen. We're not here just to do programs. We are here to be a devoted people. And so this morning, we're going to be focusing on prayer. They devoted themselves to prayer. It's only natural that when you come into, when you get born again and your heart is regenerated, it's just so wonderful. I was chatting to Terenique the other day. Terenique is our head of operations at EC Tembiso, and we're talking about what it's like when you first come to Christ. It's just, everything is just so wonderful. You know, it's just wonderful. You have this communion with Christ. It's this newfound love for him. And that's what happens, is this, naturally, as you come into Christ, you're supposed to have this communion with Christ. That's what prayer is. It's this communication with our Lord. It's speaking to him. And prayer, traditionally defined like this. Prayer is the offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to his will in the name of Christ, with confessions of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. So prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to his will in the name of Christ, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. Just give me a second. I just want to blow my nose. Okay. However, what I want to do this morning is I want us to focus on two things. Why did they devote themselves to prayer? And how did they devote themselves to prayer? Those are the two things I want to cover. Why did they devote themselves to prayer? And how did they devote themselves to prayer? So why did they devote themselves to prayer? I think we often forget that in the early church, even though there was so much life amongst the early church, it was really tough. There was so much growth, yes, but it was extremely tough. Christianity wasn't like it is today. You know, it was if you were a Christian, there was a mark on your back. The church was persecuted. And so the early church knew that they would not be able to do what God has called them to be without the help of God. They really understood John 15:15. It says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So at the core of prayer is this. Unless you realize your dependency or your need for God, you will never understand what it means to pray. To pray means to be in need of Jesus, in need of somebody else. So it doesn't matter actually what you say. I can clearly see how much someone believes they need Jesus by just looking at their prayer life. You don't need to come up to me and say, I love prayer and I love, you know, all I say is, how much do you pray? How much does the church pray? And that I will see how much you need Christ. If you think you need Christ a little, well, you're not going to pray. If you think you need Christ a lot, are you going to be devoted to prayer? Paul Washer says the following. Your problem is not that you lack strength. Your problem is that you do not recognize your weakness, because a man who recognizes his weakness and his need will be driven to Christ and driven to the word of Christ, and in doing so, he will become strong. Do you need Christ? Do you need him? Do you believe that you actually need him? Then you will be in the prayer closet. I'm sure we all feel like that. I mean, I wake up and I go, God, how am I supposed to do today? I've got no idea how to do this thing. I've got this happening, and you need to be in the prayer closet going, asking the Lord for his help. We need to be praying collectively. We have the 11 a.m. and the 8:30 coming up. We will not be able to do anything unless Christ intervenes. God gives us our very breath to breathe. How much more so everything else? If he gives us our breath, how do we think that we're going to do work and, you know, lead our families and do all these other things? Christ enables us to function. And so we are in desperate need of Christ. Church, we need him. We can't do anything without him. We literally cannot do anything without him. I don't know about you guys, but there's so much times when I'm going, God, how am I supposed to witness to this person? How am I supposed to be bold enough? I don't feel like doing it. I don't have the courage to do it. I don't have the capacity or the love or whatever. Lord, you need to empower me. And so you pray until the Lord empowers us to do it. They were also devoted. Why they were devoted to prayer is because they knew that there was power in prayer. Prayer works, guys. Prayer really does work. Prayer has power to do miraculous, amazing things. It's not that there is power particularly in the words that we say, but it's the one who we're praying to. God is the one who created the universe, ex nihilo, out of nothing. By the power of his word, he just created everything. Isn't it fascinating? He didn't say, okay, I need atoms and then sound, and he just said, let there be light, and everything that needed to happen came. God has the power in his hands to do anything. And church, if we, I'm asking us, we need to come, we're going to have a time after this where we can come in prayer and ask God for amazing things, for big things. God can answer us. He can change things in an instant. I've said this many times before, but there's been times here, just here, we had a time when we were in a church meeting and there was a guy that came in with a moon boot, a massive moon boot. And the church, we had faith to pray for him. So he took off his moon boot. His leg was, it was swollen. I promise you, it was massive. All the doctors in the house, listen to this. It was crazy. I promise you, we gathered it around him. We prayed him. And before the congregation's eyes, his leg began to go down like this. We were all in. We didn't know what to say. And then he left the meeting with his moon boot over his arm. It was the most amazing thing. Amen. Yeah. It was a miracle. God can do things in an instant. And this morning we're going to bring things before the Lord. Healing, if you need prayer, if you need provision, breakthrough. We can ask God because God has the power to do amazing things. Amazing things. And then just lastly, how did they devote themselves to prayer? How did they devote themselves to prayer? They didn't sign up for programs. It was a way of, they did life. Prayer was a way that they did life. The early church prayed when it was bad and when it was good. They prayed as individuals and they also prayed as collectives. They prayed when they had small faith or big faith. They prayed with gratitude. And they also prayed with humility and with boldness. They prayed in families, and they prayed with friends. They prayed without ceasing. They prayed with persistence. But the one thing that I want to highlight this morning is that the early church prayed with an earnestness. They prayed with a hunger. They prayed with a desperation. Something that I believe that the Lord wants to restore to even our church, churches generally speaking. Man, they prayed with such a hunger and a desperation. They were in that upper room seeking after God, fasting and praying. When last have we fasted and prayed? Are you fasted and prayed to seek after God? You know, there's times where I've, in our communities, where we have, I have walked with some people and we have prayed. I can only, where's Liz and T here? I remember there's Liz. We have, Tebuch and myself, we have fasted and prayed together. And I remember when there was an instant, Tebuch was healed in an instant. We were over the phone, it was in lockdown, and we were praying, and boom, just in a moment, he was set free. It was wonderful. But there's an earnestness that we need to pray with. The Bible talks about, you know, people beating their chest in prayer, people weeping before the Lord. Some Bible verses say that we need to come before him with weeping, with mourning. Have you prayed with weeping and mourning? When is the last time you've cried to say, God, I need you to change this thing. I need you to change this thing in me. Sometimes I'm going, God, I need to love people better. When last have we gone, Jesus, please just change me. Change my heart. Change me. I don't want to leave until you change me. We need to pray with an earnestness, with a desperation, with a hunger. Matthew 7, 7 and 8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. And so this is the question this morning. The worship team can come up. This is the question this morning. Are we a devoted people to prayer?